Well, hello and welcome to the Leadership Educator Podcast. My name is Dan Jenkins and I'm Chair and Associate Professor of Leadership and Organizational Studies at the University of Southern Maine.
And I'm Lauren Bullock, Assistant Professor of Instruction at Temple University, and we are both very excited for today's episode, which is a preview of Season 2.
That's right. So this season we had an opportunity to speak with leadership educators across the country who represented different leadership professional associations in the ILEC, or the Inter Association Leadership Education Collaborative. So there's seven associations, and we will put the full names of these associations in the show notes. So it's the ALE, the ILA, NASPA, NACA, ACPA, ACUI, and the NCLP. The reason we decided to invite these particular individuals from these particular professional associations was not only that they were part of the ILEC, but it was through their participation in that collaborative. That is, these are the folks that are best suited to represent each of these professional associations. So they were either, you know, very, very engaged volunteers and or some type of full-time staff with these professional associations. Although some, like the ALE and the NCLP, are completely volunteer driven. So in any case, these associations offer just tons of professional development opportunities for leadership educators. And our episodes, you know, this season were a mix of walks down memory lane, as, you know, we were lucky enough to have met some of these folks, both Lauren and I. And so it was fun to reminisce about some of the different conferences that we had participated in together. But as well, we also learned things we didn't know about, you know, all the, you know, myriad resources that each association had to offer, both at their annual and regional conferences, as well as on their websites, the publications that they put out, webinars, even other podcasts.
Yeah, I agree. I love talking with each speaker, and it was great to reminisce about my experiences at the conferences. I thought, you know, they were well-planned. They put a great group of people together to share ideas. I know we'll talk about some of the overlap and also some of the distinct differences we heard in talking with those groups, but I just appreciate them graciously sharing their time and their knowledge. Also, we're excited to hear about each organization beyond just attending conferences. So we were very intentional about asking a question, you know, how did you get involved? And then kind of what did you do after you left that first conference? And it was exciting to hear how in every organization, there was a project or a partnership, or there was something that sparked action. So it wasn't just, let's have these great conversations. It was, well, now that we have this idea, how can the organization support us? And in almost every episode, there were some really different examples of what that looked like. We also asked the question about resources beyond the organization, and each shared, you know, the databases they had available for members and how they furthered or they encouraged each person to connect with people that they maybe didn't know in person, but had the organization in common, which I thought was great, was really amazing.
Yeah, you know, one of the things too that definitely shone through as a theme was just how welcoming the environments were for each of these professional associations. And we both had stories to share, you know, about that, as well as, you know, listening to the stories that our guests were sharing. You know, I think personally and entering and trying to become a part of this community of practice as a doctoral student and then, you know, early on the tenure track as a faculty member, there was so many opportunities to get involved. But once you got involved and threw your name in the hat, it, you know, Carrie Priest, for example, she reminded me, I said, gosh, I don't remember exactly where we met, Carrie. She said, well, no, we met when we were both volunteering for the ILA case competition, the student case competition, which is something that the Leadership Education Member Interest Group puts on for undergraduate and graduate students. And we, I don't even know if we had, we had accepted our tenure track jobs at the same time or around the same time. And we were on that phone call, you know, on that conference call together. It ended up being a relationship that continued to partner on so many things. You know, that's just one of many different, you know, stories that we have about, but getting involved, you end up meeting, well, I can call Carrie a mover and a shaker. You know, she's certainly been involved in many different things, but many of these individuals, you know, you might refer to them as movers and shakers, but it's because of the time and the contributions that they've made to their, you know, respective professional associations, whether it be, you know, I think about, again, some of the other things that I may have taken on, you know, the member interest group. You know, I was motivated by a good friend of mine, Matthew Salchik, who was a chair of the Leadership Education Member Interest Group in ILA. And he said, hey, Dan, you know, you're starting to get involved. Have you thought about running for chair? And I hadn't, but I ended up doing that. And then I ended up meeting Ryan Satterthwaite, who is someone else who runs the Leadership Center at UNLV. So we've been working on different projects together. And, you know, there's the Pause for Pedagogy newsletter from ILA that Shelley Wilsey talked about when we had her on. And gosh, I mean, from that to the ALE, that's another place that I worked with Carrie. We're both on the ALE board together and got to spend some more time with her on that. And NASPA, when we talked with Avani Rani, she talked a little bit about the pre-conference work that she had done that got her into volunteering for the SLPKC, the Student Leadership Programs Knowledge Community. There's just so many ways to get involved based on where your interests are. Or if you're like, well, what's that? What's a student case competition? Like, what is this affinity group or this interest group or what have you have to do with this other part of leadership education and development that I know less about? Or who might be some really interesting people that I can meet just by, you know, throwing my name again in the hat and seeing, you know, what types of volunteer opportunities there are. And it's for faculty, it's for student affairs administrators, it's junior faculty, senior faculty, doctoral students, grad students, undergrads, program coordinators. I mean, it's that diversity of experience and contacts that just contributes to the experiences that you're going to have. Then, you know, the more, you know, mix of individuals that are out there participating in these events and these, you know, other activities, that is just going to add to the, not only the credibility, but just the richness of the experiences.
I agree. There's so many points that you made that I can echo. So for example, when we talked with Avani, who works with the NASPA SLPKC, she and I had that exact same conversation. Like, well, wait, where did we meet? And, you know, I think it's because you grow to become close friends. You regularly see each other at various conferences. And instead of kind of focusing on how you met, you focus on your interaction or your relationships or the questions you have. And you get to this space where they're almost like an old friend that you've had, or they feel like, you know, your college roommate that you've known forever. And I think I love that in this professional space where we go with the intention of improving our practice, we walk away with people that, you know, we may go on vacation with, or we may hang out at a coffee shop. And, you know, and I think it's nice, especially when you are away from your family and away from your friends, or me, I'm a mother, you know, away from my kids. It's nice to have a little bit of, I don't want to say like personality, but it's nice that there's a personal side to these conversations. So they're not just looking at you as this leadership educator. They're looking at you as this person who also is a leadership educator. I also agree with your point about the faculty and student affairs. As someone who's served on both sides, a faculty member as well as a student affairs administrator, I found it really easy to transition within the community. I mean, the questions that I asked changed. So I went more in depth on pedagogy and maybe pulled back a little bit on training and development, but the relationships that I had were still in play and there was still value in all of those conversations. I think I just had to tell people, well, I no longer do that. I now am doing this. And then it was, okay, well, let's talk about, you know, how they can help. And I think I appreciated that. And I don't know that I would have that as easily without some of these leadership educator associations. I also noticed that each speaker shared the importance of relationships. Someone brought them into that association and then someone else kind of tapped them on their shoulder for leadership. I believe it was Melanie literally said, on her way out, someone tapped her on the shoulder and said, hey, are you interested in this program? And that program ended up being a catalyst for her career. And so while we in leadership, we talk a lot about task and social, there's a heavy focus on social because I think overwhelmingly, and this I gathered from each conversation, the value of people and the value of relationships is what sparks our ability to be amazing leadership educators. I also think too, when I hear the get involved, it reminds me of what we tell our students in undergrad, right? Join, you know, when you get to college, go to class, get involved. And I appreciated how each speaker shared what getting involved looked like for them. I talk with students regularly and they're like, you know, I know I'm supposed to get involved, but I don't know what that means, or I don't know how to do that. And I'm like, well, you know, let's have this conversation. And so I think a lot of the questions that we talked about showed, you know, how each went from being a member or a staff member or administrator into a leadership role. And so I love that we're practicing what we're preaching to our students. And we found a group of people who can share how we're all modeling that as professionals.
Yeah, so. No, Laura, that has me thinking about, you know, one of the questions that we asked our guests was, you know, what was like a memorable, fun experience you had at one of these conferences or you know, or just being involved in the association? And they all, you know, well, we had Melanie who spoke to, she said she met her spouse through her involvement in ACA. And so that was probably the most memorable of all the experiences that we heard about. But,
definitely.
You know, others were just people that they had met and, you know, opportunities of elevator conversations where all of a sudden you're standing there with, you know, with Susan Kamavez, or you get to see John Legend or Justice Sotomayor give a keynote or perform at an ASPA conference. And, you know, there's just so many opportunities and just fun things to the relationships and the networking that, you know, that is just so long lasting, you know. And you know, I think about our partnership here, Laura, you know, we met through conference participation, you know, and just keep, you know, continuously running into each other. And so.
Yeah, Dan, I have no clue where I met you.
I have
you.
No idea.
I know it's, I have no idea.
It was some session somewhere. And then it was like, that's a familiar face. Like we keep running into each other. And
then I heard Florida State and I was sold.
And that was it. And that was it. So, you know, and in addition to the networking, it's just that focus on the learning in the organization. Organizations, you know, they're all built on, you know, continuous improvement. And it's not just from the top down, it's the members that want to enhance and evolve their community of practice. And, you know, in addition on this season, I mentioned that we had talked with Carrie Priest, and she wasn't actually representing one of the professional associations, although she had represented ALE as representative in taking part in the ILEC summits over the years. That group actually met every summer at the University of Maryland for about 6 years, I want to say, put out a series of white papers and other proceedings and things of that nature and resources. But she had done some research with Carrie Priest on leadership educator professional identity development. And so she spoke a little bit about that and how important it is as we think about bringing about and you know, the evolution of our professionals and, you know, our leadership educators. Do we identify as leadership educators and what impact that has on our community of practice? And there's, you know, we talked a little bit about this great new Directions for Leadership Development series that includes some chapters on, you know, advancing the community of practice for leadership educators and what that looks like. And one of the themes that were in some of these New Directions articles that we definitely saw come through in the stories that were shared with our guests was that, you know, as Lauren had said, that somebody tapped them on the shoulder and it wasn't, and they were paying that forward. I think was one of the most interesting things is they remembered that. They remembered that they got involved in all of the great, you know, opportunities that came from and partnerships and articles that they may have written or workshops that they put on or jobs that they may have gotten or, again, people that they had met because somebody saw something in them or invited them to, you know, hey, come sit over here. Hey, come meet these people. And what a difference that make. And you know, they feel, you know, authentically obligated, if that makes sense, to, you know, to pay it forward. They had been mentored themselves. And why not, you know, take on that role and model some of that? Because, hey, that's what Kuzis and Posner says, you know, we got to model the way.
Oh, I agree, especially with the mentoring piece. And I noticed that the guest speakers, they didn't all mention the same mentors. It was a various and diverse collection of people that brought them in. I also think back to your comment about memorable experiences. One day we'll remember where how we met or if there was a specific like story around it. But I do think that there's one memory that I have in mind that I don't know that I shared during the course of recording our podcast with our guest speakers. So a few speakers mentioned that when they plan conferences, they like to choose places where, knowing that people are going to be away from their families, they can maybe get out of the hotel room or out of the conference sessions and maybe enjoy a little bit of that surrounding area. I know I love traveling. I love visiting campuses of other schools. Like there's no better plan for me than to visit somebody's student center or to look at some of their stadiums or athletic fields, things of that nature. I've always loved that. And so I remember at LEI in Long Beach, I had a little break in the afternoon, and our former dean of students was the vice provost for student affairs at the time. And I sent him an email. I said, I don't know if you're busy today, but can I come visit? And he's like, yep, meet me at this time in this place. And I said, great. You know, USC is a great institution, and I had never been on their campus. I think the closest I got, my husband and I, on our anniversary trip, we stayed near USC, but we didn't go. So I get there and he says, let's grab a cup of tea and we'll walk around. So we ended up, I ended up touring USC, walked into their student center, which is beautiful, went into their communication center, which is set up like a journalism newsroom. And in passing, met NFL great and college football great Lynn Swann. And so I'm sitting here thinking, right, and I'm a huge sports person. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, not my first Lynn Swann interaction, but definitely a memorable moment. And I just think about, like, if I wasn't at LEI and I didn't connect with a former student affairs colleague, you know, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to see such a great campus and to meet Lynn Swann in person. And it's like, those are the moments that, yeah, you're happy for the conference sessions and yeah, you're going to learn, but those are the moments that keep you connected to that organization, as well as keep you coming back and wanting to serve, because you know, you don't just get those opportunities anywhere. And so that memorable experience was wonderful, which will probably keep me going to LEI forever. But it definitely highlights how you're there for professional, but there's this personal balance that they try and go for.
Yeah, no, thanks for sharing that story. I love that. And so, you know, that's wrapping us up for this, you know, preview episode. So, you know, we encourage you, take a look at the websites for each of these professional associations. You know, is there a conference coming up? Is there a call for proposals coming up? You know, who are the keynotes? You know, what are they going to be talking about? What's the conference theme? You know, what, there's not only the annual conference, but the regional conferences and the pop-up conferences and the drive-ins. I mean, there's so many different ways to get involved depending on, you know, your institutional context or role as a leadership educator. And why not think outside the box, go a little bit outside your comfort zone and get involved, or just show up at a conference that, you know, might be a little bit outside of what you do on a day-to-day basis. You never know what you might learn or who you might run into. So with that, you know, we want to encourage you to listen to the full episodes as they're released, so we can only share a fraction of the amazing stories that our guests shared on this preview episode. But you can find the episodes wherever podcasts are available.
For those of us that are listening in their car or at home or while they're exercising, we want to thank you as well for joining us. We want to share that you can follow us on Twitter. Dan is at Dr. Leadership with an underscore between Dr. and Leadership. And I am at Mrs. Larjb, MrsLaurjb on social media. Thank you for the great funding that we get from the James M. Cox Jr. Institute for Journalism, Innovation, Management, and Leadership within the Grady College of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Georgia, facilitated by Dr. Keith Herndon, the William S. Morris Chair in News Strategy and Management.
Yep, and our wonderful theme music was composed, performed, and mixed by Dr. Matthew White, trumpeter, composer, and educator, and he's currently the Associate Professor of Trumpet, Coordinator of Jazz and Commercial Music, and Director of Ensembles at Coastal Carolina University. You can check him out at www.mattwhitejazz.com. Matt, thanks again for sharing your musical genius with our audience.
And finally, thank you to the Association of Leadership Educators. Check out what the ALE has to offer at leadershipeducators.org.
We also encourage you to rate us 5 stars, as the more you rate us, the easier it is for others to find us.